The greatest WNBA finals in history concluded the biggest year in WNBA history yesterday with one of the originals winning their very first title. Arguably the team that owns the most famous shot in WNBA history that did not result in a championship victory finally got theirs. The New York Liberty won their first ever championship yesterday. Breonna Stewart wins another one. Sabrina Ionescu gets her first. Really a culmination of a fantastic season by the Liberty and for the WNBA as well. I did not like the way it ended. I hated that foul call that sent Breonna Stewart to the line. I don't want to scoop your heat, but I had the same thoughts you did on the missed Kayla McBride three.
Unless you're
talking about a different play.
Same thing. You can go ahead and break it down.
I thought if you're going to call that foul against Stewie, you missed the foul on that offensive rebound.
That was, I don't know who that was. She got beat up.
Yeah, and it's like if you like you can't if you're an official, you can't make the decision. You're gonna put the game in your hands on one side of the floor. And then not do it on the other. Like, I was stunned Kayla shot it so quickly. But it was a look. Like, you don't pass
wide
up.
Open look.
Like, yeah. I admittedly didn't know the timeout situation. But I was stunned that she shot it so quickly. She had the look. It gave the Lynx an opportunity and a rebound. They were in a great position to get one. I thought a foul was committed. The referees decided otherwise. The game went to overtime. And Minnesota never really got it back. They missed a shot before the Stewie foul at the rim. They missed a shot at the basket that would have put them up four and probably secured their fifth championship.
And that's tough, too, because we'll go back a little bit to Friday night, which is also an unbelievable game, when they got a foul call on a rebound attempt. That was on the offensive rebound that they called on Sabrina, and they were in a penalty, and Minnesota made two free throws. So you're looking at it. You're looking for that as officials. Call that one there too. So I don't know. I thought that was crazy. The foul on Breonna Stewart at the end of the game, that was a missed call. I got to go back and watch it. I was watching it on my phone, so you guys know my eyesight. I be needing my glasses, so I don't know, the whole, because I know the two arms came down. It didn't look like they made any contact with Breonna Stewart. At first, I thought, oh yeah, she got her on the wrist or something like that, and you continue to see the clips, and it's like I don't think she touched her. And that you hate to see that come down to that, because Minnesota's got a valid gripe for that particular call for sure. That's tough.
It is.
That is tough.
It is. But I know Cheryl Reeve was really upset. She's going to take whatever fine the WNBA gives her. She said the game was stolen. She was clear and actually has been for the entire series that she was not okay with the way that this series was officiated. And you don't often see coaches go that route after a W game or after a championship game, a game that ends the season. You don't often see that, but Cheryl went for it, and she laid out why she was frustrated, the problems at the end of the game, the problems throughout the course of the series, and I'm sure she feels very passionately that her team was better. I don't know that the Lynx were better. I thought that they were an incredible matchup for the Liberty. I thought they played an incredible series. Whether the best team out of these two teams won, I don't know, but I think the best team in the WNBA this year won. And it was 1-2 virtually the entire season with the Liberty and the Lynx. The Sun were in the conversation. You always had your eye on the Aces. There were teams that kind of crept around up there, but it felt like Minnesota and New York were the cream of the crop this year.
Yeah.
And hell of a series.
Hell of a series, man. I was trying to think if that was the best finals in recent memory. And I'm talking both sides, men and women. Was it the best final since 2016? Because that's my favorite. If not, I think the best finals, maybe in my lifetime, was the 2016 NBA Finals. But I was trying to think if anything, and I was just doing it all off the top of the head. Like, I think 2019 was really good. 2019 was really good. You had some close games. You had some dramatic finishes. That Warriors-Raptors series.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I don't know. I don't know since 2016. We're talking, I guess, eight years? I guess, mm-hmm. yeah, since 2016. That might have been the best finals on men's or women's finals. That was great.
Yep.
You had one lopsided game. Everything else came down to the final
fight.
Shot.
Yeah, that game, man, Sabrina's shot, was it Friday night? That was one of those ones you're kind of like watching and you're like, is this happening?
Yeah.
Is she doing this again?
And then, and look, they're fantastic. They're world champions, deservedly so. It was crazy to see Sabrina and Stewie play as bad as they did last night.
Mm-hmm.
I just, every time they took a shot, I was like, oh, this is the one that's going to go in, and they didn't make anything.
Yeah, Sabrina was rough.
They didn't make anything. And at the end of the day, though, that's what a team is for. And, you know, the teammates around them stepped up, made plays, and they had to gut that one out. That one, that felt like the end of a long series. I know it was only five games, but it felt like how we watched Game 7 Warriors-Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yo, these two teams, they're tired. They know everything about each other. They are just battling it out. And it's crazy that that's what that felt like in only Game 5. You know what I mean? So I enjoyed that series. I enjoyed the playoffs. I enjoyed the whole season. Hopefully this is a jumping off point to, and I think it will be, to what's next for this league. It was a great season.
Yeah, they have a lot of work to do this offseason. They need to capitalize on everything that they've built throughout the course of the last handful of months. Whether it's marketing, whether it's appearances, whatever it is, they need to stay on top of this. 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Knew this call was coming today. TC.
Hey.
Hey, yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
What's good, TC? Good to hear you, man. I don't be hearing from you no more. Everybody else hear from TC. I don't even hear from my guy no more.
Nah, man, I'll be tapping in, man. Look, hey, I told you, Kenny and D-Lo, you was out.
TC did call Friday. It just dawned on me. Like, okay, TC did call Friday.
Oh, no, because I was listening to the show all the way down. I was like, oh, TC called when your boy ain't around, no. Man. And they had the Real Brothers of Sacramento, Lewis, Titus called, man.
Yeah,
it's like,
Titus
called. Okay, I guess they just be waiting for your boy to leave. It's cool.
Nah, before we get started, man, hey, I send my condolences, man, to Uncle, man. Rest in peace, though.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Appreciate you, fam.
For sure. But listen, y'all know we get into the bread and meat of this whole situation. Yeah. I'm going to ask y'all this question. Yes or no, I asked Kyle and Ham earlier. Do y'all see what I'm talking about now with this dude, Kyle? Yes or no?
No.
No.
Okay. Now, moving on with Brock. Brock had a – listen to me. Brock had a bad game. He got some stuff he got to work on, right? Those anticipation throws, those is getting him in trouble, dog. Ronnie Bell cut the route short, bro, so you got to nail him right there, Brock. But as far as Brock was playing scare yesterday, dude, that's Kyle. Throw the ball here, Brock. Throw it there. He can't check. He can't do none of that, bro, at the line. So he playing shook. Kyle destroys quarterbacks, big dog, and it's starting to happen to Brock in front of our eyes, big homie. That's all I got.
Come on, TC. We appreciate you, dog. We appreciate you calling.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo has been so much better since he's gotten away from Kyle Shanahan.
And I'm sorry.
So much
better.
Did
Brock look like a destroyed quarterback a week ago?
Well, he was in the process of being destroyed.
That's right.
Destroyed yet. That's like right. The process of destruction is beginning. Man. That is absolutely. I was waiting for that call. I knew it was coming today. I was happy we got it.
Shout out TC, man. Shout out TC. Did
TC calling in to talk about Kyle?
Allow me to expose my colon once again. Mm-hmm. The ramification inflicted on the incision placed within the fallopian cavities serves to be holistic, taken from the Latin word jalapeno.
All right, thank you. Thank you, TC.
The Latin word jalapeno.
Bread and meat will never not be funny, by the way. Never not be funny.
Did you see the picture of Damon Wayans on the set of his new show with Tisha Campbell and then Claire from My Wife and Kids were on the set?
Yeah. Didn't you post it? Did you post it?
Maybe.
I thought you did. Yeah. I don't know, but I did see it. Yeah.
My Wife and Kids may be the most underrated show of all time. That show's hilarious.
That's a great show. Yeah.
That's a great show. They called her light skinned Claire, by the way. Because the first Claire was dark skinned. It was light skinned Claire.
That's kind of funny. You wanted it. You got it. Titus on the line. 916-909-1320 Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Titus, what's happening, brother?
Hey, what's up with it?
My dog, man. Hey. One half of the Real Brothers of Sacramento. What's good, man?
You already know. Hey, look, you ain't speaking on y'all special teams, right? Y'all give up big plays. Y'all got trouble with mobile quarterbacks. Then y'all got too many teams. Y'all can't even handle y'all division. So I don't know how you think y'all gonna make the playoffs. Then you had the Broncos being last in the division, and look at us.
Broncos. What are they, 4-2 now? 4-2 or 5-2?
Oh, they're not that good, are they? I thought they had three losses.
Maybe they got three losses.
Let me check. Denver. Yeah, they're 4-3.
Okay, 4-3. 4-3. Yeah,
which is fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's respectable. It's fine.
I look at the other thing that I look at with these teams. Appreciate you, Titus. The other thing I look at with these teams in football and all this other stuff is it's a long haul, man. It's a long road.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's a little too early to put a stamp on what a team is and what they're going to be, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I look at Minnesota. I think they're a good team, but maybe this spawns a 3-game losing streak.
Mm.
So, like, all right, they're good right now. I need, when I'm talking specifically with the 49ers, I need them, if they're capable, to be playing their best football in November and December. I don't need them playing their best football, and I'm not going to worry too much about them not playing great football in September and October. Now, the problem with that, though, is you can find yourself way behind the eight ball if you don't play at least some type of winning football. That's why next Sunday's big. Get to 4-4, keep your head above water, and try to regroup at the after the bye.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to play some type of good football. But if you can keep your head above water and then gear up as the season goes along – that's more so what I'm looking for with the 49ers and any other team. So we'll see what happens with them. I don't know. I don't know what happens. We talked about it earlier. I think all the things that they have an issue with outside of injuries are correctable. We'll see if they can correct them.
And was it last year, 2 years ago, they won like 10 games in a row.
Yeah, it ended up being 12. And to be fair, I'm not banking on that again. Like, I'm not, like, I think David Lombardi was talking about, like, oh, you know, they started off there and they won 12. No, I'm not.
Yeah, but my overarching point was you can see seasons within seasons.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's not exclusive to the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. It's every team in the NFL. There are some teams, like, if the San Francisco 49ers turn it around and reel off, you know, 8 of 10 wins. Mm-hmm. I don't think people are like, oh, my God. Now, there's levels to this. I don't think the Raiders are doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're having a season within a season. I think that's a bad football team. But, like, if Cincinnati got hot, I'm not a Bengals fan whatsoever. Mm. But if Cincinnati got hot and won 8 of 10 or so, okay. Not stunned.
All right.
Not stunned at all. You have seasons within season, especially good football teams. The Chiefs, they could start losing games.
Mm-hmm.
They could start hitting on all cylinders because they're not. They're finding ways to win, and that's what it's cliche. That's what champions do.
Yeah,
they find ways to win football games. Like, that's what they're doing. This thing could turn on them quick. It could accelerate for them quick. But I think good teams often have seasons within seasons, and I think that's going to be true for Detroit. I think it's going to be true for Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be true for Green Bay. In a positive or negative sense, it might not be anything catastrophic. Like you just said, Minnesota could lose the next three games or next two games, make it a 3-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. Okay, then they reel off 4 victories in a row or 5 of 6 or something along those lines mm-hmm. to reestablish that they're a good football team. But you remember the point where they lost 3. Mm-hmm. They came back down to earth, and it's like, okay, maybe they're not elite like we thought, but they're still a good football team.
Yeah. What did Philly start last year, 10-1?
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
It's a disaster. 2-3 years ago, what if Pittsburgh, were they 12-0?
They were like 12-0, yeah,
and
something
lost,
like that.
Their last 4 of their last 5.
I think
5
they were gone the first week, yeah.
It happens.
Yep. We'll come back. James Hamm will join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk Kings. There was no practice today, so there's no sound to bring you or anything like that. Yesterday was Fan Fest, of course, the day before. They had a big kickoff party at the Roseville Galleria with Malik Monk. So we'll get to the Kings when James Hamm joins us. There's moves happening all over the NBA with contracts being signed and such. Plus, the Casuals Dream World Series is set, and I'm all in. I'm a casual. I'm ready for this.
Go Yanks!
In case he wants to pick a fight with me because I disagree with a Celtics legend. That's coming up here. Steve and Casey brought to you by Sky River Casino. On Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Hey, man. We got some people to welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. It took a while.
Yeah.
It took a while, but we here. Prize Picks is with
Come
D-Lo
on, baby.
And KC.
Prize Picks.
Okay. All right. Let's care way over here.
Let's go, Prize Picks. Hey, shout out to them.
Yeah.
Shout out to them, man, because I love what they're doing. The Prize Picks is like it's it right now. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. I set my lineup over the weekend. I even tweeted it out or whatever. You know, people saw it on Twitter, and I had some misfortunes go on. I had Jaden Daniels in the lineup. He got hurt mm-hmm. immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So the good thing about that is when you set your lineup. Jaden Daniels gets hurt, he doesn't count against your play. You know what I mean? Like, so he was out. He didn't count. So the fact that he didn't reach what I thought he would reach, that didn't factor in. Here's the other good part about that. Everybody was hitting. I had DK Metcalf. I had McLaren. Who was the other one I had? I had Deshaun Watson. I had him under, whatever, less than. And I had Devontae Adams. And I thought he would have more than 55 yards receiving. Well, the damn quarterback couldn't get the job done mm-hmm. after he already had 30 yards in like the second quarter. You couldn't get 25 more yards. No, he couldn't. But here's the thing. I didn't lose. I still won me a little bit, man, because that's what you do, man. If you get 3 of your 4 picks right, you still walk away with something. So
you got a promo code for people who download the app right now?
That's right. KIFM. Put that promo code in. You'll get instantly $50. You don't even have to win. $50 guaranteed. Get in there. KIFM is the code.
You get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. So download the app right now. Use the promo code KIFM. You'll get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks is the best place. To get real money sports action, join over 10 million users and sign up today. Prize Picks, run your game, must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for more details. Mm-hmm. And Prize Picks is going to be buzzing here with the Casuals Dream World Series. It's the Dodgers, it's the Yankees, it's Shohei, it's Aaron Judge. I'm all about it. This feels like Kobe and LeBron and the puppets that never happened.
That's a great call and a great callback by you. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. It's really going to be fun if the Yankees win. It's not going to be as fun if the Dodgers win. But this is – they've been waiting for, I don't know, probably 30 years.
Mm.
When these, I think these teams last played in like 81 World Series or something like that. And this is what they've been waiting for. Yankees, Dodgers, the two biggest media markets in the country with two unbelievable fan bases going head-to-head in the World Series. This is going to be box office. This
Shohei versus the Evil Empire. Let's go Shohei.
The Evil Empire, the Dodgers, sir.
It's not true at all,
the
actually.
The Evil Empire, actually, the Dodgers. They even manipulating paying this guy. Like, what kind of nonsense is that? We just kind of glossed past that in the winter. They're not even paying the guy.
I don't think we glossed.
They're paying him. He's getting money. He's getting paid as much as we do, but he's getting paid.
That's crazy.
Well, as much as you and I do, not Kenny.
That's true. Yeah. My fault.
Kenny has the opposite of
makes
Shohei's
sense.
Contract.
Makes sense. Yes.
His is front loaded.
The New York Yankees right here getting all their money. Meanwhile, the working man over here trying to defeat them.
What are we talking about?
It's true.
Stop it. Do you see this guy's hoodie? Stop.
Yeah, like you've got a poor man's t-shirt on, man. What are you doing?
I got a t-shirt. I couldn't even get the hoodie. I had to get a t-shirt.
No one believes you when you do this. They know. I'm just the guy who carries bags. Oh, everybody knows that.
Will you stop it?
Everybody knows that. Anyone have an edge in this series? I've heard you actually say both. That you think the Dodgers will win the World Series. I don't mean to break kayfabe. You say that in quiet moments.
I said it on wax.
I thought so too. But you also said off the air, man, the Yankees might win the World Series. When we were watching, I don't remember what game it was, but sometime last week.
Yeah, the Yankees, they have a certain aura to the way they're playing right now. They do feel a little bit like destiny with Soto and the way Giancarlo is playing.
Winner probably gets Juan Soto this offseason.
I think he's staying in the Bronx.
Okay.
No matter what that is. Okay. They got a little a little reggaeton song called Soto Shuffle.
Yeah,
it's fire.
Well, we'll see how the Dodgers feel about that if they lose.
they're gonna try.
That's what I mean.
They do. They're gonna try, but the Yankees.
And Juan
Yankees,
gonna be like, "You ain't deferring my payments, buddy. Like, you better."
Yankees ain't letting them leave, man. He's in fact,
give me $500 million up front. Y'all can figure the rest out yourselves.
He's staying in the Bronx, but I see reasons why both teams can win this one. I think it's pitching stronger
in New York.
It is. Rondon is starting to pitch well. Gerrit Cole is starting to pitch well. I just saw some something where they're getting I forgot his last name.
Gerrit Cole, no?
I don't know.
It's Gerrit Cole, right?
Yeah. Gerrit Cole.
Just real quick, Ben sends his condolences. Thank you, Ben. No, that is just saying. I just wanted everybody to know.
Ben, the first break.
No, I know. It was 2 hours ago. I just want everybody to know Ben's here. He's a couple hours behind, but I just didn't want KC to miss this.
I appreciate it, Ben. Thank you, brother.
No,
thank
and he'll you. See this 2 hours from now. It'll be fine. He'll see this at dinner time tonight.
But the Dodgers, they've pitched a lot better since game three of that divisional round series against the Padres. They've been dominant on the mound a lot of the time. So make a pick right now. Maybe I'm going with my heart. I'll pick the Yankees. But I do think it's a 50-50 series. I think it's a 50-50 series. And I like the Yankees, too. I like the Yankee fans have told me, get the hell away. Like, we don't care if you like us or not. You have a team. Stay with them. I was like, well, that's harsh. You know, I've always liked the Yankees.
See how they treat you?
Huh?
You see how they treat you?
No. Treat me better than Red Sox fans. I know that much. Go to Fenway and see what happens.
I'm not going to vouch for Boston.
But I like the Yanks, man. I like the Yankees. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely, you know, I'm going to have the Yankee fitted on, you know, multiple times throughout the week. And, yeah, we're going to try and make this happen. We're going to try and make this happen.
Well, David Lopez says you could be a Dodgers fan. I mean, you've already got the pictures. Why not just root for it?
Yeah, come join us, Casey.
I don't have pictures, first of all, that say anything about me supporting the Dodgers. And I don't listen to none of that nonsense. Mm. And I hate the Dodgers. I hate them.
Mm.
And, you know, but look, you know, the Dodgers win the World Series. People think, oh, it's going to be a disastrous thing. Oh, it's no big deal. They only got one of them things. Yeah, you know I mean, like we've been doing what we've been doing over here, man.
I have a question because we're kind of in the same boat, being Red Sox and Giants fans. How long do we get to hold on to these titles if our teams win like this time?
Good question.
Well, there's an angle of the amount of times. So, if either the Yankees or the Dodgers win another one after this,
okay.
Then they're like, nah, you got to hush up because we got multiples too. Right now, we can kind of little brother their championship.
Because I still got the 2004 ALCS in my back pocket too, so I'm just kind of wondering.
That's an all-timer. That's an all-timer. But, you know, they win one, you're like, ah, that's cute. You know what I mean? It's cute. You know, win one. All right. You know, the Marlins. Even the Marlins won two.
It took you long enough.
You know, even the Marlins won two. You like the Rangers. Rangers won one. That's cute. You know what I mean? But try to get multiples. Try that. See how that works. Try to be the team of the decade. See how that works.
And even be the team of two decades.
Yeah.
Well, it would be their second, just to be clear.
Oh, no. It ain't their second. Oh. It ain't the second.
You know what I noticed this morning?
That ain't
you know what I noticed this morning for the first time? I saw in writing, you know, and even though the Dodgers won the title in 2020, they haven't won a full season championship since 1988. That was the first time I've seen that written. It's like, okay, everyone is out on this title that they won. That's a good
that
thing
one,
to see.
That one is – that's – well, there's only – well, the W went into the wobble, but I was about to say football didn't go into the bubble, so I can't say
football
the worst
didn't even
of them
have,
all.
Football didn't even have COVID.
Right? I can't say the worst of them all.
60,000 at Arrowhead Stadium opening night.
It was the worst.
Meanwhile,
of the
I can't
two.
Go get bread at the grocery store.
Right, right. It was the worst of the two. I mean, the NBA one, there was definitely some hardships there, all this other stuff. Well, baseball.
LA won
choke.
Both of them.
Baseball was a joke.
Wasn't it all neutral site too?
Yeah,
or they played at like only
Texas.
Three different spots?
It was in Texas.
I think the season as a whole was in three different spots. The end was.
Yeah, the postseason was. Was it three or two? Because I know they were in Texas. They were in San Diego for one of the series, like the ALCS. I think it was just those two spots. But yeah, it was the AAU championship.
Will in the chat brings us up. Does anybody remember the hockey bubble?
No. Let me see if I can remember who won.
I feel like I just blanked out.
It was
the NHL for that couple of years, I think.
The Blackhawks won.
Okay.
I'm just guessing.
I have no clue. I don't remember
like,
the
we'll
hockey
just,
bubble.
Yeah,
where
we'll
was
that.
It?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll just do that. I was like, huh.
Where was the hockey bubble? Does anyone know?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Kyle Renata says the Tampa Bay Lightning won. I'll take his word for it.
You could have typed anything into the chat and I would have believed you. I have no clue.
I barely remember regular hockey, non-bubble.
Oh, true that. Yeah. True that. Kevin Garnett spoke about Joel Embiid. Obviously, it's Kevin Garnett, so I'm not going to play the clip.
I heard about it, then I watched it. I was like, well, this isn't getting played on.
No, it's not. But that's part of KG's charm. But he was talking about Joel Embiid, and he's like, 82 games, man, that's what the job calls for. And he talked about it really stems from Joel's line about believing he's probably not going to play back-to-backs again. And Kevin Garnett took exception to that and said, man, you can't do that. This is 82 games. And I have a bit of a issue with that. Not Kevin Garnett. I have no issue with Kevin Garnett for multiple reasons. One, I admire the dude. Two, I do not want that smoke ever.
I think KG.
He'll
At least
talk,
in the NBA.
He'll talk tough.
Yeah, in the NBA. I don't know what he does in real life, but in the NBA.
Well, I don't think Kevin Garnett's going to fight anybody. That's not. I don't think.
No, but in the NBA, I was like, I'm kind of hip to your game, buddy.
But KG, he works his ass off, and I'm going to be careful here because this isn't a Kevin Garnett thing. Mm-hmm. This I think is a old time basketball player thing, and I hate to refer to Kevin Garnett as an old time basketball player, but that's kind of like where we're at right now. KG was critical of Joel's remarks, but when I looked at Kevin Garnett's career, and you know, we don't know the numbers yet, we have no idea how this is going to play out. Kevin Garnett didn't play more than 71 games after the age of 30, and most of those seasons he played a lot less. Mm-hmm. And again, if Joe comes back and plays 30 some odd games again, or 40 some odd games, that's tough. Mm-hmm. He's not playing 40 some odd games because he's sitting out back to backs, by the way. If he's playing 40 some odd games, it means he got hurt again. Mm-hmm. But if he comes back and he plays, and we'll keep it below the trophy line, 60 to 65, that's not that different than what Kevin Garnett did. And the idea that Joel doesn't want to play basketball, or he's trying to shortchange his team, or he's not tough enough or whatever, I think that's all false. And I think it's whack that you're misremembering your own career. Charles Barkley did the same thing. Charles Barkley's career went down. Now, he'll poke fun at it, which is what kind of gets him like a little grace for it. Mm-hmm. But that man made embarrassing Anthony Davis on national television popular. And I don't like these narratives about how these players, because in one regard, think about what I just said. In one regard, you have a legend like Kevin Garnett being critical of the way Joel may approach this season because he wants to be available for his team when it's time to win a championship. Mm-hmm. The other component of that is Charles Barkley embarrasses a player who gets hurt or doesn't play, and gets made fun of because he gets hurt or doesn't play. And so Anthony Davis goes to find a way to manage his availability at the end of the season when it's most critical. He's going to get criticized. And I think all of this thought from these older players is extremely short-sighted.
So I understand what you're saying. In this particular situation, number one, the messenger, I think the messenger can say whatever he wants to say and talk about Kevin Garnett. Because, yes, after 30, he didn't play, you know, X amount of games or whatever. But before that, KG showed up every night. And the reason why he got hurt, I think that was when he got hurt with Boston. He was just never the same after that. But KG, you look at that games played before 30, every night he was there. 81, 81, 82, 82, 82, 82.
Yeah, but Joel is 30.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is why I understand KG saying it. KG did everything he could to prepare himself to play 82. If he got hurt and he wasn't able to play, that's different. I think they look at somebody like Joel, and it's fair. I don't think – maybe you can agree. I don't think Joel's always done everything he could to stay healthy.
But wait, Joel missed the first two seasons of his career and half of his third.
Do you think Joel Embiid, Trista's talked to us about this a number of different times, has done everything he could to prepare his body for an NBA season?
To a reasonable extent, yes.
I don't think he has.
I don't think he's Shaquille O'Neal.
I don't think he is either, but when you hear the stories and you talk about his nutrition, for one, like they're telling you, Joel, like, you're going to have to do this, and he still doesn't do it. He's not preparing himself for an 82-game season. Now, when he's out there playing and he's diving on the floor and somebody lands on his knee and hyperextends, that's not because he didn't put in the work in the offseason. That's a basketball thing that happened. Mm-hmm. But I don't look at Joel necessarily and Kawhi the same. I feel like Kawhi prepares himself best he can to be able to play in an NBA season, and it just doesn't happen. I think sometimes Joel, some of these seasons, does not prepare himself in the offseason. And I think that's...
I'm not passionate enough about that to argue against it. You might be 100% right. I also think in a lot of seasons, he's losing chunks of his offseason. And yeah, maybe not everyone is good at dealing with that. Mm. Again, I don't think he's Shaquille O'Neal, who I think just destroyed years of his career because he convinced whoever he had to convince that fat weighs more than muscle. That's actually not even remotely scientifically accurate. But he'd utter that stupid stuff, or muscle weighs more than fat, or whatever dumbass line he said to excuse his, like, 25-pound weight gain. Mm. He's like, what am I going to look like eating a salad? I'm a steak man. Okay, cool. That's why you played for Cleveland, Boston, Phoenix, and whoever else you played for at the tail end of your career. Mm. I don't think Joel is that, but I think it's a domino effect with these injuries where a guy gets hurt and they're constantly playing from behind. And I'm not talking about basketball, but in terms of nutrition and health and all of those different things. Like, I'm very curious to see what Luka looks like to start this season. Mm. Luka's conditioning, Luka's, for lack of a better term, figure is always a subject of conversation in NBA circles. He's coming off a calf contusion that kept him out of virtually all of training camp. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, Luka got injured like the second day of camp. And now they're, you know, now they're preparing to be one of the marquee teams playing this week. This is a Western Conference champion team. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. That's a you maybe you work, and then something happens, and then all of a sudden you're behind. And I feel like that's been the case with Joel. Joel, I do not have a good feeling about Joel's season. Mm-hmm. I understand why. You said it. Maybe it was a once in a lifetime opportunity. I think the Olympics and everything that went into that is going to have a very, I hope I'm wrong, by the way, is going to have a major effect on his season. Mm. Wow. Because I don't believe he's anything resembling 100% right now. Mm-hmm. The idea, I don't know. Maybe the idea of his schedule is always going to be a conversation simply because he was so good last year in the 30-something games that he played. Mm-hmm. And this is especially this version of the Philadelphia 76ers. This is a team that it's championship and absolutely nothing else. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got Paul George there, and maybe you have a few years that you believe that you can win. I don't. Mm-hmm. Unless Tyrese Maxey emerges from, you know, I think we have him closer to a top 15, top 20 player than a top 10 player. But unless he emerges to an undoubtable top 5 player, I think the only opportunity Philadelphia has to win the championship is this year. I don't think Paul George is going to be better next year. I don't think Joel Embiid is going to be better next year. And Tyrese Maxey might. And then the rest of your roster might not even be on your roster. Like, you've got one shot. It's this year. And I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the big storylines going into the season. Like, what is that team really going to look like? But, you know, I look at Embiid, I look at Luka, and maybe I'm just on the outside looking in. But I do look at them and say, what is keeping you from being LeBron James in the offseason? LeBron James does not cut any corners on making sure his body is ready for basketball season. And what is keeping you, not saying you have to look chiseled and all this other stuff, and I'm also careful because just because it's not on Instagram or whatever doesn't mean people aren't doing it. Right. So we don't know. But sometimes you hear stories and then they match up with what you see. It's like, oh yeah, he was kind of half-assed. He was kind of cutting corners on that. And I look at Joel, I look at Luka. What is keeping you? And then I think this is the problem, right? This is where KG and some of these guys have a problem. You don't do this stuff. You cut corners in the offseason, And then you come to media day and be like, yeah, I ain't going to play back-to-backs. Well, you're not even doing anything to try and prepare yourself to possibly say that. And the more I think about that situation, that wasn't, I'm not going to make much like you on the other side. I'm not passionate enough to like go in about him with that statement, but he shouldn't be saying that.
But so let's do what we do. I don't know what the question was that got him to say that. Mm-hmm. It also, based on what we heard later that day or the next day, it might not have been his decision. That might have been something that was told to him. That could have been something that was told to him by Daryl Morey or Doc Rivers or a brain trust meeting of their doctors and their trainers. And then, of course, you know, Daryl and Doc saying, look, man, this is obviously our number one goal is to win a championship. And the best way we can get there is doing this. Now, we're not writing it in stone that this is what we're doing, because I don't think either one of them did that. Because Daryl Morey said something. I think it was Daryl Morey. He said something similar to what Joel said. And Joel did not say, I'm not playing back-to-backs this year. Mm-hmm. That's not what he said. He said, I'm not sure if I'm playing back-to-backs again in my career, mm-hmm. which his line of thinking is probably where if they're going to do that this year, why wouldn't they do it next year?
Right.
I've got a contract extension. I'm not playing anywhere other than Philadelphia. That might be their approach moving forward. Mm. And then all of a sudden, Paul George is lumped into this. Paul George isn't getting any heat for this. I guess because Paul George didn't say it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we ask guys to be honest, and Joel was honest. Maybe he shouldn't have been, because that might have been a conversation that wasn't supposed to leave the walls until later the season, because Daryl tiptoed around it, again, either that day or the next day. He didn't say it emphatically, but he was like, yeah, there's some validity what Joel Embiid said.
The only thing that, and we've talked about this before, and I'm sensitive to these guys and you know, the schedules that they keep and everything. I'm not completely, you know, Grandpa Simpson talking to the kids. I'm not completely that. But the thing I always ask is, why could they play 82 and you guys can't? That's the thing I always ask. What the KGs and even the guys before that, they played 82. And I just, why could they do it and these guys can't?
Well, not everyone. I mean, I understand, like, if you want to be mad, like, at Kawhi or Paul George or Joel or whoever these guys who, or Anthony Davis, all these guys who do load management, like, that's fine. Like, it's not like no players play 82. Like, Harrison Barnes played 82. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many. I think he played 82 twice in a row. I don't know how many.
He had a streak going, like an Ironman streak, didn't he?
Maybe. I don't know how many guys in the league played 82 games. I don't know how many big names in the league played 82 games. But I don't know, if you want to be upset about it, I guess you have the right to be, because you played 82. But again, I'll point out, you played 81, you played 82, you did all of this stuff. Well, at the end of your career, you didn't. Mm-hmm. You didn't play anything close to it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those times, and there are exceptions, those guys that play 82, we were looking at David Robinson's the other day. The fall off is steep. Mm-hmm. And 82, 82, 82, and then all of a sudden it's 50. And then it's 40. And then it's like, whew, that ended quick. And no one has made the correlation. Well, maybe it's because of everything that you did before. Maybe guys are legitimately trying to elongate their careers. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. I just say they don't ask to them to do anything that they didn't do, I would say.
That's fine. And you're entitled to bring that up. Leezy, Manny, hang tight. We want to get to you on the Elk Grove Kia talk line before we talk to James Hamm when we return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. That Sengun extension finally hit. Mm. Yeah, extensions all over the league being signed today as teams get ready for the upcoming season.
Wasn't today like the deadline, like before the first game of the season or something like that?
I believe so. James Hamm will be with us at the top of the hour. He can share some of the ins and outs of how all of that stuff works here when he joins us at 3 o'clock.
King's thoughts from Friday too, though. We'll talk about that when Ham is here.
Let's clear out the Elk Grove Kia talk line before we get to the Kings 916-909-1320. We'll start with our man Manny. Manny, what's going on, baby?
What up? What up? We're gonna be on tomorrow night at ESPN 1320 on Twitch. or YouTube. It's a special night because some of us will be at the Deuce and Mo show on Wednesday.
Very good.
Doing a one week hit on a Tuesday.
Very good. That's awesome.
I got a quick question. You were talking about the WNBA earlier, and I had a there was a little bit of a battle during the game. I saw on X and a couple social media sites talking about going from the 5-7 game series, and people being concerned about it being too many games for them. Right, that they did look like in that fifth game there were some tired legs and you know off the jump shots and everything. But first, I think it would just be something that they grow into. It just takes time to get used to having two more games, but I don't think it's that serious. If guys can do it, women can do it too. But why don't just kind of, guys, if you could hit on that, what you guys think about that?
Yeah, that's dumb. Yeah. They'll be fine.
I don't think that'll be an issue.
Yeah, that won't be a problem. Not if you guys want to bring it up as a question, like that's fine. The idea that they can't play two more games is silly. And I'd hold off on the tired legs thing and, oh, they couldn't hit shots. I don't think that was fatigue. I think that was nerves. Go back and watch game sevens. Game sevens are tight. Everyone's, oh, game one, you just, you know, everybody comes out nervous. And, boy, they really settle in, though, after a quarter. Go watch a game seven. We joke about you brought up 2016 earlier. Go watch the fourth quarter of that game. What was the score, like 90-86, 87, something like that? Yeah, like it wasn't an offensive juggernaut. Those guys went like Kyrie's back. Kyrie's shot is remembered because it was like the only made shot for 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it's the you know, people like to use this, win or go home. No, it's over after this. No matter what happens, it's over. And I think you see that sometimes reflected in the game a little bit where everyone is a little bit tighter than they normally are.
Kobe against the Celtics in that game.
Yeah, 4 of something.
It was like 6 of 24, 8 of 24, okay. I can't remember. Either one or the two. I mean, look at him in the game seven. I mean, look at Mike and went, oh, my bad, he ain't playing no game seven. He never playing no finals game seven.
Play for the Wizards, though.
He didn't do that. Mike said, I ain't doing that. I ain't playing no game seven. You might see me, you know, against the Knicks because they snuck up on us. You know, we weren't ready for that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then in that game seven,
I think he had a game seven against the Cavs, too, but it's fine.
No, it was 92? 92? No, I guess Cavs. That was easy work. That was six.
Easy work at six, Mike.
Yeah, that was easy work. That was six. That was 4-2.
He the all-time leading scorer?
No.
Stopped top playing. Top 10 rebounder?
No. His job.
Is he going to finish in the top of the league in assists?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, he is a Defensive Player of the Year award.
Casey will turn around and say that Damian Lillard is better than John Stockton, but we got to praise Mike's rings again and stuff.
I'm just asking.
Like, out of nowhere, like, no one was, like, who was talking about you? Like, no one.
Well, we were talking about the greats in game sevens, and then I was like, that reminded me of Mike's.
Who was talking about the greats?
LeBron in game seven of 2016, and then Kobe, and then I was like, oh, what about Mike?
Who
like, oh,
brought up
happen.
LeBron?
It didn't happen.
Who hit the shot in that game?
You were talking about the game. LeBron played in the game, right? He played in that game seven.
Boy, so this is clearly something that's been on your mind for a few days, and you've been trying to figure out how to work it into a show.
No, it literally happened just now.
We got 9 more minutes till James is here. You want to finish out that MJ segment?
I can go grab my juice if you just want to get your mic takes off.
No, I just was thinking about game sevens, and I remember he didn't play in one. That's all I'm saying. And then what he did play in against the Knicks, I mean, he destroyed them boys. He didn't need Bobby Hansen in that game. There wasn't no 3 minutes without scoring in that game. He just beat the hell out of him.
Wow.
Beat
John Starks. Wow.
Okay. I just hope you feel better. That was a bizarre outburst. But
I've never seen someone do that talking about LeBron. That was weird.
Yeah, super weird, right?
Yeah, LeBron's great anyways.
I was talking about Kobe, too. What are we talking about? I was just talking about the greats. That's all.
Okay.
You scared Leezy off. Now he's not even on the phone lines.
Leezy was just like, this is stupid. This is why I'm going to the Deuce and Mo show Wednesday. This is dumb.
Well, I ain't going to say that.
Say it. Say it. We always say it. Say it.
They didn't change the date because of a scheduling conflict with Leezy. Wait, is that still going on?
No, wait, what
the Chatty House is not on Wednesday. It's on Tuesday. I said they didn't change that date because of a scheduling conflict with Leezy.
Oh, because Leezy got beef with, yeah. What is the origins of this Manny Leezy beef?
I don't know.
Like, when did this happen?
I think Leezy feels like he wasn't
some members of the Chatty House, yeah, I think felt like they should have been part of the Chatty House show, but weren't. That's what I've gotten from the Chatty House over the weeks.
The only person I trust is Katrina. If Katrina calls, I'll ask her. Katrina's the only person I trust in this. I don't trust anyone else.
Leezy's going to start Chatty House at night.
Chatty House Nitro.
And he just runs it opposite of...
Oh, Drew Down's going to be on Chatty House After Party one episode, and right after that, he shows up on Leezy's.
With no, like, he's going to shave, like, no beard or anything like that.
They're going to be like, no need to turn into Chatty House After Party. Katrina's on there tonight. You come over here to Chatty House Nitro and see, we're live every week. Leezy, they're live this week.
See, Leezy.
Don't worry about that, sir.
Delivery Joe. And... Mr. Tapia and Scout Recycler tapping in.
Leezy Bischoff.
Leezy gonna do the show in a black leather jacket.
Oh, we know who his compadre is.
Stephen Brown. John Paul and Stephen Brown. That's amazing.
They all need to get along, man. We all one Chatty House. Come on, man.
Extensions, Jalen Suggs, Jalen Green signed extensions. Moses Moody signed a 3-year, $39 million contract extension. We saw Sengun get his extension today. I didn't, so I guess the Jalen one is pretty unique. No, I didn't, obviously that news broke during the show. I haven't got a chance to like dive into it, but it sounds like he had a pretty unique contract negotiation. It turned out some decent money for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're on the doorstep of the start of the NBA season. Anthony Edwards says if he wins a ring in the next 3 or 4 years, he's gonna go play football.
Pretty good. Yeah, good. Nice arm. Nice arm. Seen him pass the ball.
All right, yeah, man. Seen him pass the ball. I always loved the idea. No, I'm just gonna go play a different sport.
But I mean, the Jalen Green, that's the one that really catches my attention, because I'm unsure about what Jalen Green is going to be. I think he's going to be a really good ball player, but like, is he going to be a franchise guy?
Mm-hmm.
Like you like how we look at Anthony Edwards, or is he going to be more of a number two type guy? I know coming into that draft, I thought he was the best player in the draft. I was a big Jalen. I still am a big Jalen Green fan, but we'll see, because he's a little bit of a tweener. He's a little too short and slim to be a shooting guard, but he doesn't have the mentality of a point guard. So what he ends up being is going to be interesting to see.
That run they went on at the end of last season looked like he was on another level, which is a matter of he can just be consistent over 82 games, I guess. Yeah. I think he has the potential to be that, but.
He was
don't know how consistent he's going to be.
When they started cooking, it was because he started cooking. So this will be a big year for him. It'll be a big year.
Catching up with some of these notes here. The Green extension is unprecedented for multiple reasons. It's from our man Bobby Marks. Player option in year 3. Teams have gotten away from putting player options in rookie extensions. The last time a rookie extension had a player option salary of $30 million plus was Luka and Trey. Two, the ability to extend the contract starting in October of 2026. So Jalen signs a pretty unique deal there. And what was the other one? Oh, Suggs. Suggs signed a massive 5-year, $150 million rookie extension with your Orlando Magic.
Well, that's a little significant because, remember, I think all three of us, maybe it was just me and Jesse, but I think you agreed too. One of the things, now I even think Kamar even chimed in on it. One of the things that we were kind of talking about when Malik Monk was a free agent was, yo, they – they look at Suggs as one of their guys. So when you talk about, oh, they just gonna give Malik Monk $100 million,
yeah,
I don't know, because they got money saved up for this guy right here, and that's kind of proved out to be the case with this contract extension they got him.
And a contract that wasn't signed, Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors. They're not going to get to, by the way, I think the deadline for these deals is in 2 minutes. If I'm reading this right, Monday's 6 p.m. Eastern deadline for rookie extensions. Jonathan Kuminga not getting one. There's reports that they're monitoring his relationship with Steve Kerr.